the place for the realest conversations.
I appreciate United Garden Homes for stopping through with a check for $2,000.
Yes.
Some people came through anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we stay in our cell. We get fed in our cell. We don't come out our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. And they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the lines, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism, good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big up, big up, big up to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they was talking about what we did earlier that morning, all day.
Mm.
That's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
My
son was just hollering, we're Tori.
I wanted to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cups. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, stay cool, stay calm, stay focused.
Now, live from the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tori Lowe.
White people, I go crazy.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up. It's Tori Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tori Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready. 101.7, the truth. Tori Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. And I'm here for the action
and nothing but that action.
And I want all the smoke.
Who wants the smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
How y'all doing out there in Radio Land? How y'all doing in the chat? We got another powerful show for you today. So I'ma need y'all to open up your ears, okay? Hey, look, I hope y'all had a nice weekend. I hope y'all enjoyed y'all weekend, but hey, we back at it. We back at it. Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. Good. Let me see who I got in there. Who we got in the chat? We got SC Kawanda Jeff. I see you, Willie.
Cyber King Mike in the chat, Josh in the chat, Jeff, Kawanda, James Griffin in the chat. All right, well, it's Monday, and you know before we start off, before we have to get all into the action and all the smoke, it's Monday, and we got to get the Miracle Minister on the lines for the Monday prayer. How you doing, Miracle Minister Kevin?
Hey, my brother Tori, I'm doing well. I see you spreading love today. I see you on YouTube spreading the love, the Jordan love.
Hey, let me tell you something. It's all about the love right now.
It's all about love.
What the world needs now is love. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Bears didn't need love left yesterday, but we were waiting. We'll talk about that later.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You know, it was a good game. It was powerful. But like I said, the Bears still suck. And you got to understand that Green Bay needed to get this game out the way because there was a lot of trash talking. A lot of trash talking going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a good game. I was surprised. Caleb Williams, he threw some passes that made me go, wow, you know. So, and Jordan Love just was amazing, hot, red hot. So it was a good game.
That it was. I really enjoyed the parts that I was able to stay awake and watch, you know, but I was trying.
Well, they say, you know, Josh in the chat said, you know, Tori in a good mood after the Packers win, you know. Yeah, you know, all week.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is going to rain, just not just the next day. This will last for a little while. We appreciate it. I don't know if Tony Swift will be up today, but if he is, you know,
we got GP coming in.
Okay, GP, are you with me? All right.
Pop.
That's good. But you know, I was thinking about yesterday. We're talking about teacher day on Sunday school lesson. We were talking about David and Goliath. Mm. And sometimes, you know, you had a, you know, Goliath was a big dude. I looked up his height. He was like 9 feet 9 inches tall. He can't even stand up in your house, you know, because most of the house have like an 8 foot ceiling. So it's his shoulders at where your ceiling is at. But that's the kind of giants that we have to face sometimes, man. And I ain't talking about them New York giants. I talk about them giants that come into our lives trying to smash us. They weren't scared of us at all, making fun of us, mocking us. You know, the enemy don't care. When he come back to man, he don't have no fear for you. But them kind of giants that come into your life, man, you got to be like they would. He didn't have no fear for him either. Like this uncircumcised Philistine, you know, you got to knock him down. And that's what kind of got me, you know, when we come against these giants, I know you want to relate it to sports, you want to relate it to your spiritual walk, whether related to your household, your job, your relationships, whatever giants come into your life, you can't fear them. You can't fear them at all. I know when you out there on the streets, you can't be worried about what somebody going to say when you can't come to rescue some young lady up out of the trouble she's in, when you come to find out who did what and why.
And well,
you can't be scared of the people out there. You done witnessed
a lot of this firsthand, Minister Kevin. You done showed up to a couple things that in the middle of something that sometimes I can't even talk about it on the radio, but you an eyewitness.
No.
You get to see a lot of it.
Right. You out there looking for somebody who did somebody wrong, and you can't. I know one time I had to call you because I had my cousin in that situation. I have to call you for what, Tori? What do I do, man? What do I do? You know, I want to make sure I do if I got a cousin who got caught up in this, and I want to get her out.
Right.
You know, so you have to, you know, face them giants, man. Whatever may come, you can't back down. You can't be as fearful. Like we talk about with Jesus walking on water, Peter said he came out to walk with him, but then a little wind started blowing. You worried about the wind. Man, you walking on water, you worried about the wind blowing.
Right.
We can't worry about the small things or the giants, man. We got to just keep going toward it. Now we worry about the cold weather. Well, I ain't going out there now. It's cold.
I was just trying to tell somebody the other day, I don't care about what nobody trying to do. If I'm on something, I'm only trying to get the results. So however that look, it ain't no real blueprint to really get the result. And I always tell people, you just got to stay focused, because if you get caught up in the distractions, every distraction puts you behind in what you're trying to do. So I try to stay laser focused. And that's why I tell people, like, you really think I care about what you're talking about? I really don't. I don't care. Only thing I'm trying to do is get an outcome. And the outcome is not credited on what you say. It's credited on making sure that anybody that I'm dealing with or have requested my services get something tangible in the process. That's it.
But, Tory, what if you go out and get somebody? Say you go get, you try to get somebody, and the person you go out and get is 9 feet 9 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say, no, nah, I'm not going to do this one? No.
I ain't never felt that way. I ain't never felt that way. So I don't know how that feel. You just go do it.
But so you would never get that done if you feel that way.
Right, facts. I never felt that way. I never felt like an obstacle was too big. Now, was I overwhelmed, like, okay, this looked crazy when I first heard it? Yeah. I mean, I heard what was going on. I was like, that is crazy. Like, wow. But after that, I have to get surgical.
But you find a way to overcome.
Yep, exactly. So, but at the end of the day, if God is for you, he's more than the world against you. If God is on your side.
That's right.
Hey, if God ain't on your side, you just been taken for a ride.
You don't want to be taken for a ride. You might end up at the wrong hospital. I ain't going to say no name. But you might end up in the wrong hospital. It's goodbye for you.
Well, that's why we need to pray. That's why we need prayer more than ever. I need everybody that's out there in Radio Land to gather together, to get on one accord. It's Monday. It's coming close to the end of 2025, Minister Kevin. And it was a lot that went on this year. And I think that people need to start understanding how you want to take on and tackle this next upcoming year. It's a lot going on, but we together as a community can save ourselves. And I appreciate you for this Monday prayer.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again in need of your provisions. Some of us are in urgent need of your protection, some of your guidance, and others your grace and your mercy. We find ourselves in dismay because sometimes we look at what's in our sight rather than what's in our heart. If we can trust in you with all of our heart, those things that we see with our eyes won't seem to be as big as we thought they were. When we see those giants come into our lives, give us the strength and the courage not only to face them, but also to conquer them as well. For we know that all things are possible to him that believe. I speak life and life more abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, anything else you want to say, Miracle Minister Kevin?
As always, my good brother, stay cool, stay calm, stay focused.
Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we're going to get into the show. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
One-on-one-seven, The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Packers beat the Bears. Powerful win. I got a bet going with Black Conscious. And I already got one in the books. If the Packers win again, my friend, you're going to have to come up with it. The fingernail polish. Hey, look. We're going to talk about that in the Pop Culture Report with GP coming through. But I want to talk about this. State lawmakers seek to end emissions testing requirement in Southeast Wisconsin. Now, I know a lot of y'all riding around right now scared to take that emissions test. This might be good news for you. If you're watching this, we broadcast live. We got video. Let's listen.
A common sight at Butler Auto Body is a car rolling in because its owner needs an emissions test in order to renew the license plates.
So when I heard this morning that they're contemplating eliminating it for our area, I thought, is that going to be a bad or good thing for my businesses?
While owner Greg Gensch has questions, the 18 lawmakers who signed a letter to Wisconsin's congressional delegation are certain.
And that's all I want for Christmas, is get rid of the emissions testings.
Republican State Representative Bob Donovan is leading the push. The lawmakers note, in 2021, 8.2% of cars made between 1996 and 2009 failed emissions tests, but only 1.6% of cars made between 2010 and 2019 failed.
The technology in automobiles has improved significantly. We have, you know, we didn't have electric cars 40 years ago.
Saying, okay, only 1% fail that have been, you know, that are of the newer cars is kind of like saying, well, you know, we do water quality testing and most of the time that comes out fine, so why do it anymore?
Environmental groups like Clean Wisconsin say with the Trump administration looking to lower fuel efficiency standards, now is not the time to pull the plug on emissions testing.
So those two things combined are going to lead us on a path straight backwards.
Currently, emissions testing is required in 7 southeastern Wisconsin counties.
A Butler Auto Body is one of about 180 shops across southeast Wisconsin that offer emissions testing. For the operators, is it worth it?
It's probably 50-50. We do get some business out of it. We don't get paid really that well for doing it. However, it's more of a courtesy.
While Gensch sees it as a courtesy, others view it as either a necessity or an outdated demand.
I agree. I don't think that they should be doing it. It's like an extra tax on the people. Make sure you do your emissions test. It's just hitting the people in the pocket. And if they can get rid of it, I'm all for it. If they can get rid of emission testing, I mean, it's some people that can't even get their license renewed because of this. Because maybe they have something going on where, you know, it's not registering right. Or, you know, I know some people driving around right now. Well, they failed the emission test. I mean, now they got a car that they paying gas for, keeping the maintenance up on, and they can't even drive it. So they taking a chance at getting tickets. And you know how we feel about getting tickets in Milwaukee. They got a ticket with your name on it, over you know what, 500,000 tickets they want to write. So it's just a headache. It's just a headache. Let me know what y'all think in the chat. Do y'all think that we should get rid of the emissions test? Somebody let me know, because some of y'all driving in cars right now that can't pass the emission. Some of y'all do need emission test. Now, when the smoke coming out the tailpipe, yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. I don't think y'all should be driving around like that. Now, if they eliminate the emissions, I don't want that, where they got the black smoke coming out the tailpipe. They couldn't fix it. I ain't saying do all of that. But let me know what y'all think in the chat. Sylvia says, hell yeah, I'm sick of paying for getting my license renewed. Cyber King Mike says, I just went through this, spent about $2,500 just to pass my emissions. Somebody, Brewers, says explicit word emissions. Mo the Elephant says, when they decide to start taking regulations away, it is not a good sign. As long as they find an alternative that is fine, they should talk to car manufacturers first. Well, I think it's unnecessary. It's an unnecessary tax. And like the person that said that they had to spend a lot of money to get to pass the emissions test, that's all they do. They say, okay, you got to go get this fixed. And then, so you got to go to the auto mechanic, and this is money that you probably don't even have to spend just to get your car right. You got so many things that's going on in your life, and this emissions is just one less thing that you should, you know, have to deal with. I'm for getting rid of this. I think everybody should be for getting rid of this emission thing because it's going it's costing you money unnecessarily. So you go pay for the car. All of a sudden, you thinking everything's sweet. You got a high car note, and now you got to pass the emissions. Ah, you thought you was in the clear. You thought everything was smooth sailing till you went to the emissions test, and now they say you got to go get all of this checked out, and now you got to pay an extra $2,000 or something to get the problem fixed. Get rid of it. Somebody said you can't get your tags if you are a if your emissions ain't right. Yeah, see, it's a hindrance. Especially in where I live on the north side, it's a hindrance. Nobody don't want to, you know, I'm barely, you know, I got my budget. All of a sudden, I got to do emissions. You about to tear my whole schedule up, my whole budget schedule up. You know Christmas is coming. Why y'all want to take the Christmas money? That's bad.
Damn.
That's bad. Also, I want to talk about, it's something that happened down in Texas. Let's see if we can get this story up. Texas troopers found 23 hidden immigrants in a semi-truck cab during a traffic stop. 23 immigrants was hiding in a semi-truck cab. They got some footage on this. I mean, these people, you know, why are you in a country where you got to, like, put yourself in a life or death situation? You know, this is why I tell people, like, I got an immigration story out of Minnesota that I want to tell people because it was bad. Like, how you in a country with no rights? You know, that's wild because some people will take advantage of you. But we got some footage on this. Texas trooper finds 23 hidden immigrants in a semi-truck cab during a traffic stop. If you're watching this rebroadcast live, we got some footage. Let's listen.
Can you show me 1038 here with a white bobtail leading on 28?
You have a CDL?
I do, but like I said, I don't have a picture of it on here.
Yeah, right now. Okay. In terms of the violations, you don't have a CDL and you're operating a motor vehicle. You're not supposed to be driving a commercial motor vehicle. Okay, and who are you calling
right
now?
He know he caught. He know he busted.
I'm calling my lawyer.
Your lawyer?
I can't reach. Open it. Okay.
They don't care about no lawyer.
Yeah. Hey, no se muevan. No, se muevan.
No se muevan.
No se muevan.
No se muevan.
Nadie.
Oh, wow.
Get more out.
He packed them in. Look at this. Somebody look at this. They all packed in. I can't believe they got that many people in there.
Ahorita vamos a sacar.
Hey. They need to go back home. They need to go back home for real. Like, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. I understand trying to get in a better space in life if you want to, but you got to go through the process. You know, they want me to go out here and get Lil Ray Ray, and I do. Matter of fact, I spend all my time trying to help people resolve unresolved issues. So I'm not going to let up on Hector. I'm not going to let up on Hector. Hector got to go home. He got to come through the right way. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have a pop culture report, Truth Nation. Stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
One on one, seven the truth. Tory Lowe show. Pop culture report brought to you by GP, Truth Nation Insider.
What it do?
In studio on the Monday.
Feeling good.
After Packers win, Packers Bears, Packers came out on top.
What they say, GPG. It was a good win. It was a rough start at first. The first quarter, I should say, was a little dicey. I know Jordan Love had a really bad interception, but guys made timely plays. Obviously, they got Reed back. Josh Jacobs was fantastic as always. 20-something carries, 80-something yards, and a touchdown. But the main thing is that I think Watson is showing glimpses of what we thought he could be. Again, long touchdown as well as Bo Melton.
He looks healed.
Right. He looks healthy. Healthy. He's cooking safeties. He's cooking corners one-on-one. And
Jalen
so,
Reed looks healed.
Yeah. And Jordan Love is starting to kind of move like Favre a little bit to me, or kind of like Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You see him throwing off his back foot.
He's trusting
trusting receivers to go get it and go make plays.
He's on fire right now. Jordan Love, the last couple games have – I think that it was starting to be some backlash, mm-hmm. But I think that we got over it. I think that now this is the Packers team that we thought we had.
Yeah, they thought that, or they wanted Jordan Love to take more of a command of the offense, and now they have more of a balance. They can obviously hand the ball off in between the tackles, and they can run for 3 to 4 yards to set themselves up in positions to pass. And so,
a lot of people was bragging on Chicago's running game, but it got stuffed.
Yeah, it did.
They was running hard, but the Packers defense, they was only talking about the pass rush, but the Packers defense is probably the best defense in the league right now. After taking on that Chicago rush, I was very impressed how the Packers was able to stop the Chicago's run, because that was their bread and butter. That's how Chicago set up everything off the run. They couldn't get it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against the Pack.
Yeah, the Bears, they love to come out with, you know, two tight ends. They use Love, or not Love, they use Komet, and they use Loveland in, you know, blocking situations, play action as well. And they had Monagai, and they have, you know, Swift as well. And they averaged, I think, around 3 or 4 yards a carry, but they made timely stops when they obviously, Caleb was running for his life the entire game. And he made a lot of crazy timely throws. And so,
I mean, yeah. I would say this. Caleb did a couple passes that I thought were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal passes.
Sideline, over the shoulder. He was hitting receivers.
The one in the end zone, I mean, just perfect. But Jordan Love was on a whole nother level. When he finally got out of that first quarter, he opened up. And even though Chicago gave some resistance, the Packers seemed to have it under control when it comes to the offense. And the offense right now looks like it's running like we can score on anybody.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I think they're getting healthy at the perfect time. Again, they essentially now control their destiny. You're the 9-3-1, they're number one in the NFC North. And they've obviously beaten, you know, some of the Giants that they needed to beat in the division. They handled the Vikings pretty easily. They handled the Lions in that rematch, you know, as well, sweeping them this season. And so again, they play the Bears again. If I can look at the schedule really quickly as well, they kind of have to run down into they have to not lose their hunger. I think that's the main thing here. Again, they're proving who they are. They know exactly what they do well at this point. They need to kind of stick true to it. And obviously, if all things, you know, considered, if they win out, they play a couple teams that are struggling to get rhythm right now. Mm-hmm. Ravens obviously lost to the Steelers yesterday. And so there might be, you know, they might be have to kind of fold it in. That's the last home game of the season for, you know, the Packers here. So we'll see what they kind of have, I don't want to say left in the tank, but it's kind of that time where they're getting comfortable. They know that they're a playoff caliber team, but they need to keep proving it and trying to prove it, you know, week in, week out. Obviously, we've seen them lose close games before earlier in the season, but and this game was a little closer. You know, it was a nail biter, save for that touchdown that they scored. You know, Josh Jacobs got in the end zone, I think, with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, and Keyshawn Nixon with the timely interception.
The Bears did surprise me, though. This Bears team, they got talent. They got talent. I'll say that. I mean, but not Green Bay Packer talent, but what I'm saying is it's better than the Bears of the past. But this team with Caleb, it seems like it's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
I don't want them to beat the Packers. I don't believe they'll ever be able to beat the Packers. But what I'm saying is I didn't think that this game was going to be what we thought the Detroit Lions game was going to be, the battle of who's on the top of the division.
Yeah.
It was. Chicago is taking those steps just like Green Bay, but – they still need, you know, they may need Jesus to come down there and play for them if they want to beat the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, God is a Packers fan.
Exactly. He's sitting up high in Lambeau Field right now. But I think the best part for me, obviously, I'm a de facto Packers fan because I moved here. You know, this is my home now. I think it feels good when you have a rivalry that really means something again. Obviously, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was leading the NFC North and he was whipping up on the Packers year in and year out, they used to call them little brother. They didn't offer much resistance, save for a couple nail biters here and there. And it really feels like we have to give our best when we do go play them now. And so they go to, you know, Soldier Field in a couple days, if that, which is a tough place to play, obviously, with the weather and all the fandom and all the kind of other things that come with it. And so I think if you're a Packers fan, you enjoy the fact that you have somebody that's kind of there neck and neck that you have to prove game in or every time that they do step out on the field that we still own this division.
And I think
this is ours.
The NFC North is the toughest division in football.
I would not argue with that.
I believe the black and blue division has always been a tough division, but I think every team in the black and blue division have taken steps because everybody's trying to model after the Packers or create a team that can beat the Packers. You know, so if, when they beat the Packers, it's like they win in the Super Bowl at that point.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about where we're playing in the level that you have to be on to play in the division, I like to see every team in our division actually, you know, have or be able to challenge because, you know, that means that we can run through the division, get our stuff together,
right,
get in the playoffs,
right,
be ready, and try to challenge that Super Bowl. And I think this year the Packers can challenge the Super Bowl with that defense.
Right. I think this is the thing for the Packers here. Again, this is a battle-tested team now. Again, 9-3-1. They had a couple slip-ups, obviously, against some bad teams earlier in the year with the losses to, you know, the Panthers, the Browns, and the Eagles, obviously, which is essentially the standard right now. Team that obviously won it last year. And so that's who you have to compare to. And so you get the chinks in your armor, and you come down the schedule when you know every game is all that more important, especially in your division. And so, you know, obviously with them or the games that they have left on the schedule, they play the Broncos on the road, you know, 3:25 kickoff, which is another playoff team that will probably win their division. And so this is another test. The team has to keep finding ways to test themselves and kind of grow as the season goes on. And they'll be very dangerous. Again, if this is a team that you have to go to Lambeau to play in January or December, you're nervous. Because they have control, they play with pace, and they play with a lot of energy. They have a lot of talent. And so the defense—
They may be second seed right now.
Right, yeah, they're sitting in second right now, sitting in second in the NFC and first in the division. And so, again, you're going to have to play a team. A team is going to have to go on the road, a team that's probably going to be an 8 or 9 team win. And that's a tough place to play. It's going to be negative temps probably in a couple weeks in Lambeau. And
somebody in the chat is wondering, why did you ditch the New York Giants and the Jets?
They ain't really do nothing when I was growing up. It's hard to root for Eli Manning and all those other guys.
Wow. Eli won the championship.
Yeah, he did, but it wasn't good when they did it. It wasn't exciting to me. I was a Yankees fan, diehard Yankees fan. I'll always be a Yankees fan, but the Giants, they're not even in New York. They're in New Jersey. If we keeping it all the way tall, they out in New Jersey by the power plants and all that stuff. So,
We
ain't really thinking about the Giants and the Jets, but it is what it is.
They trying to sweat you in the chat.
Yeah, I know. They on me. I got a lot of weird alliances. But.
Well, look, when we come back, I want to talk about this Diddy doc. You've seen the doc.
I did. I saw the documentary.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. I want to get what
you took from the doc when we come back.
All right.
Hey, look, Truth Nation, when we come back, we'll have more conversation with GP. Stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Pop Culture Report brought to you by GP,
what
Truth
it do?
Nation Insider. The Diddy Doc, The Awakening,
yeah,
The Reckoning.
The Reckoning, yeah.
It seems surgical the way that they put pieces together of Diddy's career. It was very surgical, and it was information in the doc. They came with the receipts.
Absolutely. It was well-researched. It was well put together. I think the biggest thing for me when I watched the documentary, or my biggest takeaway, there was no remorse and there was no self-awareness. I think—
On Diddy's behalf.
Yes. The documentary starts, obviously, he's holed up in a hotel room, essentially, I don't want to say awaiting his fate, but— As they keep mentioning, it's 5 or 6 days before he actually is arrested. I know we saw the video where he was brought out in the hotel lobby. And it doesn't seem like he's necessarily trying to prove his innocence. He's just trying to control the narrative as he always has. Mm-hmm. And so obviously it goes back and forth. It talks about his childhood and how he was raised and kind of the role models and the people that he saw growing up. His mother, you know, Janice being a hustler, his father's tragically slain. You know, obviously he was a drug dealer. He was out there hustling, getting money. And that was, you know, what set the precedent for him growing up. He wanted to go get it by any means because essentially he didn't have anyone else there, I guess, to kind of learn from or kind of teach him the trade. Andre Harrell became his everything. But he knew Andre Harrell was also an opportunist. And so Andre Harrell is kind of the smaller monster, I think, inside of Diddy. He felt betrayed, obviously, when, you know, Harrell cut him loose. But Diddy became too big for his britches.
And but he was, then he ended up working for Diddy, for Bad Boy.
Again, the master or the mentor kind of, you know, sometimes outshadows the mentor. The mentee outshadows the mentor. I think that's kind of what it was.
Why is 50 getting backlash? I mean, a lot of people are saying that 50 is super petty. Why is 50 getting the backlash? He's exposing Diddy. He's raping people.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
He's beating on women. He's doing all these things to people.
Calling shots.
And it seems like people are overlooking all of that and saying 50 is a hater.
It's because.
Is he a hater, or should this information actually be out to the public?
I think it's a little bit of both. Again, when we talk about 50, his career did very much so profit from beef and drama and, you know, all the street nonsense kind of that. Diddy obviously got, you know, himself engaged with. He obviously had relationships and friendships with drug dealers and Crips, you know, at which Keefe D alleged to obviously on the tape where his proffer or when he went in for his taping, you know, his proffer agreement. I think people don't take it seriously because they know how petty and how, I don't want to say off or unhinged that 50 Cent is. But 50 Cent, again, will do anything that he can to dig at anybody that he needs to dig at. And so a lot of people are kind of on social media like, you're never supposed to kick another black man when he's down. But wrong is wrong and right is right.
But this is somebody that. Women are on there crying, talking about they were unconscious when he raped them.
Yes.
Okay, so is this what we're trying to protect? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, so if you get it in the right perspective, Diddy did some horrible things to people.
And it's all documented again.
It's all documented. It was receipts was all there.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I'm seeing that Diddy got in this position by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But he left a trail of hurt along the way. A lot of women felt like they were unconscious when whatever he did to them happened. A lot of accusations about him being responsible for the death of Tupac and Biggie.
Right.
With the receipts right there.
Right. Yeah. I think another thing,
What's going on with that?
Yeah. The toughest part, again, for me when I watched this documentary is that there's always people who were there and lived it and experienced it, but they were also trying to carve out their own path, and they were not willing to stop any of this destruction or any of this illicit behavior or any of this kind of, you know, this energy that he kind of created. Again, he wanted to be the top dog, and he was threatened by anyone that kind of had a little bit of, you know, leeway or kind of influence on the game like he did. As he mentioned, or as they mentioned in the documentary, I believe he was afraid of Tupac necessarily stealing Biggie and kind of signing him as his own artist. I think that was something that Tupac kind of wanted to do, obviously. He was in cahoots, you know, with Suge Knight, and they had a really good relationship because Suge Knight was known for being very fair and very equitable to some of his artists. And Diddy, obviously, as you saw, like the clip when they were at the party or at his birthday party, it seemed like they were having a really tense conversation. And I don't know, obviously, we don't know what the audio or kind of what that alludes to. But I do think that Diddy saw, I don't want to say the writing on the wall. Obviously, he knew what happened with him and Andre Harrell and how he kind of surpassed him. He never wanted to be in that situation. And so he knew how to fine tune and kind of pick and comb at people in order to stay in control and stay on top as long as he possibly could.
Diddy had the nice guy on the outside. But on the back end, he was blowing up people's cars.
Hey, man.
He was, you know, setting people up to get allegedly killed. But on the top side, he was, you know, let's be, you know, cordial. But on the back side, it seemed like it was a whole nother person.
Yeah, he was a mastermind. I think. And we see all the clips and all the interviews, obviously. And he's sitting there. Hair all jerry curl, jewelry shining, nice smile. And he could talk his way out of any situation, obviously. Same way. It all started. I think it started, too, with the basketball game. I don't know how you talk yourself out of not having to pay or kind of dealing with the consequences of 9 people being trampled to death because of an event that you put on and, you know, for your own glory and your own kind of respect.
A celebrity basketball game.
Right. And then that obviously translated into the, you know, the performance, which is one of the most memorable performances of all time following Biggie's death. And it obviously comes out later on that Faith Evans said she didn't even want to do the performance at all. And obviously Sting kind of profited from that too as well. He signed over and kind of had a deal. But it goes to show how far Diddy was willing to do because he knew the opportunities that lied ahead. Mm. That song is probably one of the most memorable performances of all time. But the negative connotation that kind of comes behind it now, once you see the documentary, really puts it into question. Did he ever really care about this man, or was he looking at Biggie as another step up on the ladder?
Well, the thing that I didn't like, if this is true, is that he charged Biggie's funeral to Biggie.
I think they came out and they came out and said that wasn't true.
Okay.
I think, but
who said that?
I believe
his mom?
His estate. Someone from his estate. Okay. From someone in the estate. I need to double check that. But I do think that is false.
Okay,
I don't think that's real.
I was like, let me figure out if that was something that actually took place where he found a way, because they were saying that when he was in people's videos, he would pay himself.
Which, like, I believe. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that.
They said every time he did anything, he would insert himself into, you know, people's videos on the album. He would pay himself, but everything was in his mother's name.
Right.
So he would, and a lot of people tell you to set it up like that. If you really know how to do business, you know, kind of don't own anything, but kind of own everything.
Yeah, he left no stone unturned. I think the biggest thing, too, is, well, he talked about the situation where I'm blanking on his friend's name. I believe his friend's name was Kirk Burrows. Kirk Burrows, who claims to be the co-owner of, you know, Bad Boy Records. And he talks about the scenario where he came into the office with a bat and basically made him sign over his 25% with the promise of giving it back. And obviously, Kirk had all the information and the numbers and kind of everything. So he knew the kind of pressure that he had to put on him. And Kirk said, basically, this isn't worth my life. Like, I knew where I wanted to be, and I knew the path that he was kind of on. So a lot of people kind of, you know, took it on the chin, essentially, because they wanted to be around Diddy. As he said, Andre was the way into the game for him, and he became the method. He became the way that people survived and thrived in the game, which is Mary J. and Total and all the other bands and acts that kind of got involved in it. And I would have loved to have heard their perspective, but even Craig Mack's wife, you know, Craig Mack, obviously had a very tragic demise. I believe he died of AIDS, but he was broke at the height of his career. I don't know how you go from being nominated, you know, for a Grammy to your owner or the A&R of your label or the CEO of your label only being able to give you $100 out of your pocket. And so, again, it goes to show that a lot of people took it on the chin, and I hate to kind of minimize it because obviously people's experiences are their experiences. But people knew that they had to take what they had to take from Diddy, no pun intended.
Well, this is why I think that AI is about to take over, because Diddy was the least talented out of all these artists, but came up the biggest and the most, because it's determination to, by any means necessary, get to the top, no matter if he had to take out anybody. And now I'm seeing that the beginning of something else. Like, I think Diddy is the reason where everything is about to shift, because he was the last of the gatekeepers that of modern music that we knew. Now, AI is going to run the next 20, 30 years of music to me. And you don't need a studio or anything. Now they're going to cut that all out, and they're going to start afresh.
Yeah. When I think of, you know, kind of, I guess, where music is kind of shifting towards today, especially in relation to Diddy, I think, and I hate to say it this way, but I think Diddy was lucky. I don't think Diddy really ever had any talent at all. He really was in the right situation with the right guys and the right masterminds.
But he had the determination to do, because they said that Andre Harrell, he went and served him like a slave.
Yeah.
But that's just to get close to him.
And that's the thing. He was the fly on the wall. He was the ultimate opportunist.
They said he ran to the store.
Yeah, ran back and forth in 2 minutes with the tape.
2 minutes, yeah. Like, he was determined to get close to Andre Harrell. Yeah. And every time they put him in a situation, he was so determined to overcome. Like, he controlled the way that the artists dressed, the way that they sounded. Yeah. He put the beats together. He took Jodeci, Mary J. Blige. He did a lot of things to his credit due to his pure determination, and he was the least talented person in the room.
Yeah, I think the talent, obviously the talent kind of just walked in the door, and obviously Andre Harrell gave him free reign. I could not imagine being an A&R in my first year and in walks Jodeci, and all I got to do is style him and let them, you know, rap over this kind of beat that I can't engineer and that I can't fine tune. Because Mark Curry,
he wasn't even a producer.
But that's the thing. Mark Curry alluded to it. Mark Curry was like, he didn't have any kind of musical prowess. He didn't know notes. He couldn't, you know, fine tune or
edit
anything.
But he could tell what was a hit.
Right. But he had an ear and he had an eye for it because of the blueprint that Andre Harrell kind of laid out for him. He just became an even bigger monster
than, you know, Andre Harrell or anybody else would have imagined. Andre Harrell never wanted to fire him, but he knew what – he basically saw the writing on the wall before other people did, I think. And even when you talk about other – you know, all the other characters that were in his life, there's Capricorn Clark and there's J-Lo and there's Kim Porter and there's Cassie, all the other people that kind of had to deal with the wrath of his success. And I do think, again, Cassie kind of got it – or, you know, the worst later on because I think he tried to mold her or Aubrey O'Day as well into his next J-Lo. And
that was sad with Aubrey because they said that she said that it was a lady that said she saw her unconscious mm-hmm. with Diddy and another guy sexually abusing her that she don't even remember.
Right. Right.
That got to be horrible because even Lil Rod came on and said that he was partying so hard with Diddy. Some nights he'll wake up next to like girls and then some nights he'll wake up next to Diddy yep. laying next to him, like, and he was sore.
They said Lil Rod took Sean's right. John. That's what they were saying. I saw that in the comments online. But it's no laughing matter. Again,
That's wild.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that subject.
Waking up sleeping next to Diddy like he's sleeping next to you?
I'll be damned. I got some good friends. Wow. I'll be damned I wake up sore next to somebody I trust. But I don't know.
But I mean, that goes to show like when I was talking about this the other day, like, are they drugging people? I mean, everybody wants to go out and hang out with these people, you know, and have a good time. And they wake up and don't even remember what happened the next day because they're going so hard and they're being sexually abused.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too.
Wow.
Especially, too, with the escort that kind of mentioned that, which is even – this is even crazier, too. This is the really, really weirdest part of the documentary. I believe March 9th is the anniversary of Biggie's death, if I'm not mistaken. And basically, he said that they would have a Biggie day. So, like, they had a – why are you flying out an escort to celebrate my dead memory? That's crazy. I don't understand that part of that. Basically, they was flying.
Freak off.
Yeah, they was freaking off on Biggie's, you know, anniversary of his right. death, which is crazy. But again,
every breath I take, every move I make.
Yeah, and the escort, again, he was there, lips sealed, lips shut, drinking Ciroc, getting to do whatever he wanted to do with Cassie while Cassie was getting drop kicked and punched in the chest. You know, allegedly, obviously, there's no, you know, I guess video. There's video of him or Diddy doing it, but not in that guy's presence. But it just goes to show you that he thought he was invincible. And the tape that they kind of use as the intro and the outro to every single episode, it shows you that he really didn't give a damn about what was going on in the first place. He was outside in Harlem smoking weed with Jim Jones, taking shots of tequila 5 or 6 days before they ended up arresting him. And he basically had a bunch of yes men. You can kind of hear in the background also.
It was one part where he said that once he get away from around black people, he got to go take a shower and cleanse himself.
That killed me.
Like, that's wild.
That killed me.
Like he felt like he was around a disease.
Yeah, it reminded me of that scene from White Chicks, Negro Please.
Oh, wow.
Where the guy draped the coat on him or whatever, and he kind of said he wanted to run home and take a hot bath. But I don't understand how you could turn your back on, again, the people that loved you and embraced you and, you know.
Well, he used them when they needed, just like the politicians.
Yeah, and that, you know, security guard talked about that,
too. When it's time for elections, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This documentary, again, a lot of the stuff is alleged and a lot of the stuff is not necessarily proven in court yet, obviously, because there's so many open pending cases. And he'll be fighting cases until he dies. He'll be damn near like, you know, Bill Cosby or R. Kelly. There's always going to be someone else that musters up the courage.
Is it over? Is Diddy's career over due to this documentary?
Yeah, he's toxic. He's poisoned.
Is it over? Is he done?
Yeah, I think once he comes home.
Even when he get out?
Yeah, once he comes home, I don't think there's anyone that would touch him with a 10-foot pole. Again, there's only going to be more think pieces and there's only going to be more documentaries kind of painting, you know, an even further story into the dark, you know, dastardly days of Bad Boy Entertainment.
Wow.
So.
Well, thank you, GP, for the pop culture report.
As always.
Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in.